Our text for today in Job chapter 1 is that verse 6. And here we are introduced to Satan and his satanic powers that he sought to wield against one of God's choice servants. We read in verse 6, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." One of the great strategies in war is to know your enemy. Well, we continue in that war against the devil, against Satan. And so we need to know the enemy. And these verses before us certainly tell us a lot about him. In the events involving Satan in the opening two chapters of Job, his name is found 7 times in chapter 1 and 7 times in chapter 2. The Holy Spirit, who is the author of the book, is surely emphasizing something in relation to this evil spirit. We know, of course, that Satan means the enemy. It also means the adversary and also the accuser of the brethren. We also know that 7 is the number of completeness, which tells us that Satan is indeed the complete enemy. He is the complete adversary. He is the complete accuser. Which means he has nothing to learn about being the enemy of the Christian. He has nothing to learn about being the adversary or the accuser. He has nothing to learn in opposing all that is right and good and pure. Nothing or no one can teach him anything about being an adversary, about being an enemy, or about how to successfully accuse the brethren. He is cunning, he is crafty, and he is cruel. He is complete in his wickedness, in all his evil ways. And he has led the sons of Adam into unimaginable evil and wickedness over the years, as seen in the days of Noah. As we read in Genesis 6 and verse 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." That was the work of the devil or of Satan. No one, of course, is exempt from his wicked and wily ways, not even the godliest of men. For here in these verses before us, we see how Satan focuses attention upon God's servant, namely Job, with cold, cruel, calculated cunning. He left Job bereft of every precious thing that he owned. And but for the intervention of God, Satan would have proceeded to have taken Job's life. And so here before us, we have an example of Satan and his plan to bring suffering and heartache and separation and sorrow to this man of God. Know your enemy. This is the same enemy, the same adversary, the same accuser, whoever is on our trail. One is first of all to consider the appearance of Satan. Satan appears upon the scene when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. The sons of God. There's been a great deal of debate and argument as to the identity of the sons of God. Who were they? I believe that Job reveals to us that the sons of God were angels. You turn to Job chapter 38. In Job chapter 38, and here we have the Lord answering Job and speaking about what he has done, that is, what the Lord has done by way of his works of creation. We read in verse 5, "Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof?" Verse 7, "When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." And so this is going right back before the beginning of time, when the Lord made the morning stars, and we're told they sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. That surely must refer to the angels. They were there in the beginning, created by God. And upon seeing his work of creation, they shouted for joy. And so here we have the sons of God mentioned in this verse 6. And regarding the sons of God or the angels, we notice first of all their presentation. Look there at the words. "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord." This was done, as we read here, on a certain day. There was a day. Now these words may be rendered as follows. "Now it happened in the day of judgment, or the day of scrutiny." So this wasn't just any day. This was a particular day when the angels, the sons of God, came and presented themselves before God. "Now it happened in the day of judgment, or the day of scrutiny." This means that on an appointed day, the angels of heaven would come and stand before God to be judged or scrutinized with regard to their work and their service. The angels are the servants of the Lord, we know, and are given certain tasks and work to do. Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. There we read, "He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." There's the work of angels. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And after the days of temptation in the wilderness, we see how angels were employed once again. In Matthew 4, verse 11, following the temptation in the wilderness, we read, "And behold, angels came and ministered unto him," that is, unto Christ. And so we're looking at these verses which emphasize the service of angels. Once again, Matthew 13, verses 41 and 42, there we read, "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." It's the work of angels, or the sons of God. And when the Lord returns, we read in Matthew 24 and 31, he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And so there we see in all those references the work that the angels are given to do. And according to verse 6 of Job 1, there is a certain day, perhaps on an annual basis, but there is a certain day in which these angels are called to stand before God, and we read that they present themselves to be examined, to be scrutinized with regard to their service and how faithful they have been in their carrying out of the work that God has given to them. Now, when you think of it, this is a solemn and sobering thought, that the angels are examined by God. Where do we come in? Because we are his servants also. Will we be examined with regard to our service and the work that the Lord has given us to do? Yes, most assuredly we will. In Romans chapter 14, Apostle Paul deals with this very matter. In Romans 14 and verse 10, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother?" Listen, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Now it is very evident that Paul is speaking about believers because he includes himself. For he says, We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, "As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Believers, Christians, just as the angels must give an account, so must we, the children of the Lord, give an account to God. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, Mark once again that Paul includes himself. For we must all appear before the judgment seat. So he was addressing in the first place the believers at Rome, and he said to them, we will stand before God. We will appear before the judgment seat. We must give an account. Now he says the same thing to the believers at Corinth. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it is good or bad. So we will be examined. And we will be rewarded according to our service for the Lord. As it's already said, that is a sobering, solemn thought. The Lord has given us all a work to do. The Lord has given us all talents to be used for His glory. And the day will come when we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ as believers. We think of the great white throne judgment. We think of the unsaved standing before the great white throne. But here we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be examined, to be scrutinized, to be judged according to our works. So there's the presentation. We notice also the presence, that is the presence of Satan. Here he is appearing for the first time in the book of Job. We find that when the sons of God or the angels presented themselves before the Lord, lo and behold, Satan came also among them. We may say, how can this possibly be? That Satan would be present in a company of angels. But this is something really that shouldn't surprise us. For when you think of angels, you think of a holy company. And lo and behold, Satan, the enemy, the adversary, the accuser of the brethren, there he is as well. Know your enemy. And what does this teach us about our enemy? It teaches us that no matter how heavenly or how holy or how scriptural the company we are in, the devil, Satan, can appear in that company as well. No place on earth was purer or more holy than the Garden of Eden. There, perfect man was in holy communion and fellowship with a holy God. There was never a more holy scene ever recorded on earth than the Garden of Eden when God made man. Man and God were in perfect harmony and communion. Now we know the story well. Who then came into that garden? There you have Satan appearing in the garden of communion and fellowship. So we needn't be surprised when we read about Satan appearing amongst the sons of God or amongst the angels. And we know how Satan shattered that peace and holy tranquility in the garden. Let us never take it for granted that while we are engaging in communion, whether it be in the company of God's people and we're enjoying communion with each other, or we're enjoying communion with the Lord Himself, let us never take it for granted that the devil or Satan will not be there. He wouldn't dare come into that company. Oh yes, he would. Turn please to Zechariah. Zechariah, second last book of the Old Testament, Zechariah and Malachi. Zechariah chapter 3. If ever we need proof of what we're saying, here it is. Zechariah chapter 3 verse 1. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. And Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the burning? The adversary was standing at the very right hand of the high priest as he stood before the angel of the Lord. You couldn't get much closer to the Lord than that. There's the place of communion. There's the place of fellowship. And where is Satan? At Joshua's right hand. He's there to resist him. So, dear Christian, when we come together, let us be aware of how Satan, as he came amongst the angels, he can quite easily come amongst us. In Luke chapter 22, the Lord has entered Gethsemane. He has entered Gethsemane and he has gone there to pray. He took his disciples with him, left the most of them at the edge of the garden, and brought Peter, James and John with him. And they went into Gethsemane, and the Lord had told them to pray. Look at verse 39. And he came out, Luke 22, and he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. Who would tempt him? Why, none other than the adversary. None other than their enemy. None other than the accuser of the brethren. Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And where were they? They were in the place of prayer. And yet the Lord had to warn his disciples about temptation in the place of prayer. Satan would have been there to tempt those disciples. The Lord had called upon them to pray. And we know how, when he returned an hour later, they had fallen asleep. You know, the devil can tempt us to fall asleep in the place of prayer. We're there to pray. We're there to seek God. We're there to wrestle in prayer. We're there to strive in prayer. But the devil can be there also. So we needn't be surprised when we read here how Satan came amongst the company of the angels. So we have noted then the presentation and the presence of Satan. And then we notice the place. Just as it comes to mind, those words we read in Zechariah. We read that the Lord rebuked Satan. That's something we should note. It is not up to the Christian to rebuke Satan. It is not the business of the Christian to rebuke Satan. It is not the business of the Christian at any time or any place to address Satan or to address the devil. That's the Lord's business. The Lord is the one who rebukes Satan. Not us. And in certain charismatic circles, they're great for casting out devils and demons and casting out the devil. And they rebuke Satan. They do the rebuking. That's not scriptural. So the Lord does the rebuking. He's the one who has the power to rebuke. And so we read in Zechariah, and he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said, he didn't call upon Joshua to rebuke him. The Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. Now that takes us to the place. Once again, we may be surprised to read that when the sons of God presented themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Those two words, among them, may be rendered in the midst of them. You talk about boldness. See, we need to know the enemy. He came into the very midst of them. And here we see the outright boldness of this evil spirit. Not content to be on the periphery of that company of angels, he must take up his place in the midst of them. We've only to look at his boldness and brashness when the Lord Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. Just turn to Matthew 4. Matthew 4 and verse 3. Who else would dare say these things to the Lord? And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. The Lord had been tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. He hadn't eaten And here's Satan coming and saying, command that these stones be made bread. Look at verse 6, and he said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And of course, on each occasion, the Lord answered the devil with the scriptures. Once again, verse 9, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee. You'd say, do you ever hear the like of it? That here's this evil spirit, here's Satan speaking to the Lord and saying to the Lord, after taking him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou fall down and worship me. You talk about boldness? To start with, all the kingdoms of the world didn't belong to Satan in the first place. God is over all. Christ is over all. And who would have the Lord to fall down and worship Satan? And verse 10, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. Christ is the one who does the rebuking. Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. There's the boldness, and his boldness knows no bounds and knows no limitations. This is the enemy believer we face every day. He's not to be trifled with. God will give us the victory over him. For as Paul said in Romans 16, and verse 20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. My, we can say hallelujah to that. He shall bruise, or ye shall tread Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Our help, our strength is in the Lord. And believer, we have no might, we have no strength against this enemy. And we should know that. Know your enemy. We will never outsmart him. We read in 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And where does he appear in Job? Amongst the angels. He transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Paul is dealing with false prophets, servants of the devil. The devil or Satan who can transform himself into an angel of light. And Paul says these ministers can transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. So you needn't be surprised. Because Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. We need to know the enemy. And Satan is our enemy. There's Satan. And he appears with the angels of God, the sons of God. He's there in the midst of them. Do you know what I believe? I believe he appeared there as an angel of light. And the Lord was the one who exposed him. Because the Lord was able to identify him. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came amongst them, and the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" The Lord exposed him. And you know, believer, that's something we need to pray about and pray for. That the Lord will open our eyes to the ways of Satan. That the Lord will expose Satan to us. When we know it's the work of the devil. When we know it is the cunning craftiness of Satan that is at work. We need the Lord to expose him for us. You turn to Matthew chapter 16, a very familiar portion of Scripture. Matthew 16, and there we read in verse 21, "And from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day." Verse 22, "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan." Because Satan was behind this suggestion of Peter. Think about what Peter was saying. The Lord told Peter and the other disciples that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. The Lord was telling his disciples that he was going to Jerusalem to lay down his life for sinners. He was going to Jerusalem to be a sacrifice, to die, to redeem his people. And Peter was basically saying, "No, Lord, that cannot be." Peter was saying, "I'm going to stand in thy way. I'm not going to allow that to happen." But who was behind it? The Lord identified the one who was behind it. And the Lord said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Satan was using Peter. And Peter was saying, "Not so, Lord. This will not happen. I'll not allow this to happen." See? We need the Lord to expose the ways of Satan to us. It was the Lord who exposed Satan that day and was basically telling Peter, "Peter, the devil's behind what you're saying. I'm going to Jerusalem to lay down my life for my people. And no one's going to stop me. No one is going to stand in my way. I have a work to do." And the Lord exposed this one who is able to transform himself into an angel of light. We notice then, secondly, the activity of Satan. Upon his appearance among the sons of God, the Lord said to Satan, "Whence comest thou?" There you have the challenge. What does this show us? The Lord said to Satan, "Whence comest thou?" This shows us that Satan is answerable to God. He may be powerful, but he's not all powerful. He is answerable to the Almighty and the all-powerful God. The devil to Jesus must bow. The Lord commands, and Satan must obey. We see that from Job 1 and verse 12. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself. Put not forth thine hand." Satan could only do what the Lord permitted him to do. And we read again with reference to the wilderness temptations, when the Savior had enough of his temptations in the wilderness, the Lord said, "Get thee hence, Satan." And we read, "And the devil leaveth him." The devil left when the Lord said, "Satan, it's time you were out of here." And it says, "The devil leaveth him. Behold, angels came and ministered unto him." You think of his, the Lord's healing ministry. You think of those whom the Lord healed who had been possessed of devils. Think of Legion. Possessed of a legion of devils. And the Lord cast them all out. The devil to Jesus must bow. Satan may tempt us, torment us, but he is a defeated foe. But there is other things here. You notice his conduct. Satan told the Lord where he had come from and what he had been doing. Verse 7, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." And here in these words we see the restless nature of Satan. You ever been to the zoo? And you've gone to the lion cage? Where the tigers are, especially near feeding time, they're restless. They just walk up and down and up and down and up and down along the cage. Satan is, Peter tells us, the roaring lion who goeth about seeking whom he may devour. He's restless. And in knowing the enemy, we need to know that the devil is restless. He goeth about seeking whom he may devour. He is the accuser of the brethren. His focus is on the children of God. We should never forget that. Satan's focus is on you and I. And I'll show you how much of a focus he has on us. In our next point, his concentration. The Lord asked Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" The Lord knew. The Lord was really saying to Satan, "Thou hast considered my servant Job." The Lord knew that Satan had placed his focus on Job. And listen to this. Those words, "Hast thou considered my servant Job," may also be translated, "Hast thou set thy heart on my servant Job?" Hast thou set thy heart on my servant Job. We talk about people and have set their heart on something. A child has set their heart on a new toy or whatever. And they want that above anything and everything else. They've set their heart on it. And here we read that Satan had set his heart on Job. Shows us the focus that Satan had placed on Job. He had set his heart on Job to destroy him. And when the Lord said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" The Lord knew that Satan had indeed considered his servant Job. The Lord knew that Satan had set his heart on destroying this man of God. And we have pointed out in our study already, Satan, if he was given the chance, would destroy each one of us. That's where his focus is. It's on the Christian. We need to know the enemy. To destroy God's people, that's his stock and trade. To pull down and to destroy the members of God's family, that's his focus. We need to know the enemy. We need to know and be aware of his cunning ways. His heart was set on destroying Job. And but for the Lord, he would have destroyed him altogether. Believer, let us take heed to the words of Peter. If anyone can speak from experience, it was Peter, with regard to the wiles of the devil. This is what Peter said. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, your adversary, the devil as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He wanted to devour Job. But for the hand of God, he would have taken Job's life. Believer, we need to know the enemy. May the Lord bless and use the word to enable us to be vigilant and to be sober. Because your adversary, the devil, walketh about. He's restless. Where he finds a weakness, that's where he will attack. May the Lord use his word then to enable us to be vigilant and be sober. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O loving and our gracious God, we thank thee for the teaching of thy word that has alerted us to the ways of the devil, to the ways of Satan. And O Lord, help us to be vigilant and be sober, that, O Lord, this roaring lion will not take us by surprise. This roaring lion will not catch us out and trip us up and indeed pull us down. O Lord, I pray, even as thou didst expose this evil spirit who was able to transform himself into an angel of light, Lord, we would pray, ever expose him and his ways to us, that we will know, Lord, what the devil is about in our lives. And so our God, bless thy word to our hearts. Remember us, Lord, as we come now to thy table. Draw near to us. Draw near, O Lord, our Saviour, our guardian, our refuge, the captain of our salvation, who has defeated the devil, who has trampled and bruised his head under his foot. Draw near to us now. For any who must leave, Lord, bless and encourage them as well. We pray in the Saviour's holy name. Amen.